And we're on our way to something which we're calling Symphony Week. And let's lead off with this. Now we can start and really get going on a discussion of how to find a new music director for a symphony orchestra. And we have four of the people who are on that committee. We're going to spend about half an hour discussing that process. And then in the second half of this hour at 10:30, we will hear interviews, short interviews with each of the five candidates that that were involved. So first, let's meet this kind of wonderful representative sample of people who would be involved. We'll start with Steve Swanson. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. A pleasure to be here.
And you are, well, go ahead and say what you play and how long you've played it and a word or two about playing in the symphony.
Well, I'm a bassist in the Spokane Symphony. I've been playing the bass since I was in sixth grade. I first joined the symphony in 2005. So that makes it, I guess, 13 years now that I've been here in Spokane. And I'm frequently mistaken on stage for the concertmaster, Mateusz Wolski. But since we're on the radio, you don't need to worry about mistaking us. So here I am.
And the other thing about you, you're part of that great symphony demographic of young single symphony players who looked across the orchestra and fell in love, right?
Yes, although technically I did meet my now wife before she came to the symphony.
Oh, so, okay, okay.
But we only got married after she joined the symphony, so yes, I believe that counts. Jeannie Bourgeois Swanson, the assistant concertmaster of the symphony.
Great, okay. And Bernice Cohen, whom many of us remember from her time as my predecessor here. Good morning, Bernice.
Good morning. It's always fun to come back here. This is my second home. Of course, the symphony right now, I'm serving as a board member, and that's just a wonderful position for me. I've probably done that now three different six-year terms. This is the final of my third, group of 6 years. And it's just such a wonderful organization to be a part of. And actually, this search committee has been especially rewarding because it's made up of administrators, musicians, board members, a wide variety of people in this group of about 12, and all working together. I was just amazed at the whole beauty of the process so far.
Okay.
Of course, we've got a lot of work coming up. We went from 188 candidates down to our current five for this year. And I think the current five might be just a really big process for us this coming year, but it's an exciting one.
Good. That's Bernice Cohen. And Dan Cotter, who is the symphony's, what's your current title?
General manager.
General manager. So you kind of are the nuts and bolts of keeping everything going, right?
Yes. Behind the scenes, a lot of paperwork.
But then you have a duality.
Yes. I also play second clarinet and E-flat clarinet in the orchestra. I'm starting my 14th season. I think I'm even with Steve Swanson.
I think you joined 6 months before I did.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, okay.
You came in January, didn't you?
No.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Okay,
no. Okay, never mind. Same time.
And I played for about a decade in the orchestra, and then when Don Nelson left, I applied for the general manager position. And
And here you are.
And ended up there.
Yeah, good. And then as we're going through the whole list of people, then Jeff von Saal, who was in here yesterday talking about some more overview issues. But first, good morning, Jeff.
Morning, Vern.
And let's get you in a little bit closer there. And have you had to hire a music director before in any of your many positions?
So, yes. Partially. So a couple orchestras ago, I came into the job sort of in the analogous place where we are right now, going into the search year that was the more public mm-hmm. part of the year. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it was really busy and very fun, very involved. And it was neat that I got to be part of that process. Mm-hmm. And I suppose we'll get into this of sort of what are we looking for as the group? What am I looking for as a partner in crime, it's a marriage of sorts. I mean, mm-hmm. you do so much together. But going back to that, I was not part of the process that we just went through here of what Vernice mentioned, of narrowing it down from, you know, a couple hundred down to half a dozen.
Yeah, and so it's interesting, the marriage analogy, you know, that might come back a bunch, because is it the emotional, is it the love part, or is it kind of like computer dating where one has figured out all of the exact qualities you need? Let's start with that side. What's the job description for the music director? Can that be encapsulated?
You know, it's like like any executive position. It's long. It's involved and it's detailed, but at the end of the day, it's about chemistry, it's about competence, it's about inspiration. There's a bit of a paradox, I believe, and we all are going to have slightly different viewpoints on this. To me, we want somebody who fits with who we are as an organization, who is consistent with our values, and yet we don't want somebody that simply slides in exactly as you know, as Eckhart is departing. We don't want a carbon copy. Eckhart has done so much to propel us. So let's keep going, right? I mean, this is this opportunity to elevate to the next level, to do some different things. So we want some assimilation in terms of how we work together, but we also want certainly to be challenged and prompted by this person to explore and imagine things that we hadn't really thought about before.
So let's throw it open to the whole group here, because now that we've met them, and especially in terms of their different vantage points, when you started out the process and had those 188 people, how were your brains working? What were you trying to think about? Was it on appeal or was it on scientific analysis?
Well, of course, you always look at the resumes first. And actually, I have to say, right at the beginning, it's when you have that number, it's kind of nice to have total misfits. You know, there's only like a handful of them that have no business even applying. Most of these candidates are amazingly qualified. And the middle group is a difficult group sometimes. The few that are totally unqualified are very few. Then there's a large group of people that probably could do the job, but you're looking for the standouts, and that is also a large job, a large group, because there are so many qualified people that you're looking for that extra spark. It's not just a mechanical fit. You need somebody that's going to come here and inspire the orchestra, have what it takes to lead the orchestra to new levels, and inspire and get along and fit in with the community as well. So that's a big requirement. It's exciting to see it coming together, but it's hard the narrower it gets. Yeah. We hope it'll be really clear, yeah, though, as the year progresses. Sure.
Well, let's hear from the two orchestra players here of what were some of your first thoughts as you had to deal with 188 people.
It's a lot of tedium.
Yes.
There were about 10 linear feet of binders,
mm-hmm,
in the office, just of resumes and materials that people sent in. I don't know, is that about right?
Yeah. It was a lot of things to go through. Fortunately, my mother was able to watch my daughter for a few days so that I was able to really, really get into some of those applications. It was time-consuming, but it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. And when you go through 10 linear feet of resumes, what jumps out? What does a resume show you to anybody here?
Well, you get a lot of really qualified candidates, mm-hmm, and you know, separating out the really good ones from the pretty good ones is a time-consuming task, but it requires some thought. And after a while, you kind of get a little bit punchy about that. I remember one of our finalists. I was just kind of reading through his cover letter, disinterested, after a long, long day of looking through many applications. And then I saw his or her videos, and wow, that is really amazing. And when that caught my attention, then I took a much closer look at the cover letter and was very impressed by his or her writing and credentials. It's very impressive work.
So obviously the video was right there in that first round, pretty much for you to see a lot of conductor videos. Mm-hmm. And what does a conductor video prove or not prove, you know, compared to playing under a minute orchestra?
It'll be different live. Yeah. I think that the final round is probably the easiest one to judge, just for the orchestra itself. Just having that experience with the candidate for the whole week, seeing how they respond. We've had a lot of guest conductors over the years, and I've always noticed that the first day is kind of a golden period where everybody likes each other and everything's perfect. And then as we go through the week, they, you know, they're not grumpy or anything, but it just, you know, a 1%, 2% increase of just maybe familiarity. And it'd be interesting to see how that morphs through the week, and also just to see their skill set. And usually it's pretty obvious right away.
Skill set as in solving problems, things like that?
Technique, baton technique, but then also just knowledge of the score and understanding of the entire work as a whole and how everything fits in and where we are at any given moment. There's a big difference, in my feeling, between the different guest conductors we've had in that aspect. You can have two conductors conduct the same piece of music, and all of a sudden, one of them, it really makes sense, and the other one, it just feels like you're just kind of reading through the music and doing your best to be in tune and at the right dynamic and everything.
Yeah, what we know for a fact is that all of these five conductors are fantastic conductors. What we don't know yet is what our chemistry is with them, and that's what we'll find out as the year goes on.
And again, there's nothing like a live performance and live interaction that a video is not the same.
Yeah, I agree.
And I do want to point out that even of the two non-orchestral players, Vernice is a fine pianist who was working on the very piano sonata we were doing, playing on
Reworking
the radio this afternoon, and Jeff, who played his trumpet on the radio yesterday, and so you made your KPBX radio debut as a trumpet player yesterday. So there's a lot of musical qualifications here, which is good. Let's take just a moment, maybe Jeff, talk about the beyond musical qualifications that you have to deal with.
Sure, and just as I'm listening to this banter, I'm having all these thoughts pop into my head as well. just like an audition is a skill set in unto itself, so is applying for a job. And so to me, that is very interesting because there is this nuance. It's a bit of a game, right? Do they do the application process well? I am interested in that because I want to know that they are, crisp in their thinking. Are they a good writer? I mean, we had a bit of a debate about this particularly. I value writing. I think to be a good writer demonstrates an ability to complete a thought. Well, how much does that matter when it's the fifth of sixth movement of a big Mahler symphony and you're, making sure you have the energy to push through to the end? It depends. That's why we have a committee of 12, because we have these pretty deep discussions. And as Dan was just mentioning, as the week progresses, you see their true colors. And I was talking to somebody the other day about authenticity and to me, the value of authenticity in a leader. This is a big job. It is a long season, long hours. Their true colors will show very soon. So we have structured these weeks to be busy. I mean, they're somewhat stressful on purpose because we need to know, can they tolerate? Do they thrive in that kind of environment? They need to, right? So the right person really will, because we all do. And that's the way we work. That's back to that sort of chemistry and element. So, while music is the first and the last word in this whole thing, and it really is, and as you've said, we all are musicians, we love music, we understand the power that will convey. Their ability to exist among us and work well together as a team and rise above and take on that leadership role from time to time, and that just that nuanced thought, to me, is maybe a bit of a dying art, and I look for it all the time. Critical thinking, the ability to sort of parse apart complex scenarios and see layers of gray, and be okay with that. Live in the struggle of the moment sometimes, and say, "Wow, this is a challenge. What are we going to do about it?" To go back to the central question, what is this job? There are certainly some Midas-like qualities that we are looking for, right? I mean, it is a tall order to be really successful. And the final piece that I didn't say before, we have, of course, the competence and the the character, and the third is just commitment. You know, we want somebody who will make their mark, craft a legacy, create their own sound. And it does take some time. You know, the first couple of years, it's getting to know everybody, getting to know the organization, and then you sort of really get into it. That's where I am right now. I'm going into my third season. And now I'm feeling like, well, now we can really get started. It's been two pretty busy years. So it will be a similar path, I suppose, for this person. And we want them to be hungry. That is the final thing I want to add. We want them to really want it. And that is part of the fit, that they want to put in the extra effort and come up with ideas and be really progressive and part of the team that makes us who we are.
And another thing that they've had to do is submit sample programming, sample programs. We want somebody who can provide programs that are not same old, that have some innovative spirit to them that will capture an audience and their interest. So it's more than just the background and the ability. It also includes this ability to capture and develop audiences and the education part of it too, which is a broad aspect of all of these applicants. And I think we have a field of people who are qualified on all of these different issues.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, we're spending time with four of the 12 members of the search committee that looking for a successor to Eckhart Proy. We were just hearing from Bernice Cohen, and right before that, Jeff Bumsall, who's the executive director of the symphony. Before that, we were hearing from Dan Cotter, the manager of the symphony, and before that, from the bass player of the symphony. There you go, Steve Swanson. Names go out fast here. The next thing, now that you have narrowed it down, I assume you spy on them. Because it's one thing for them to submit their nice sanitized materials, but then you have to really check these people out. Talk about that process.
We've talked about it a little bit, the notion of maybe some either announced or unannounced field trips. That remains to be, I don't know, fully fleshed out. I agree. It is valuable to see them on their, sort of in their home, on their home turf. Seeing how they really operate. I hope we can do that. I think that will shed additional light.
Were we going to hire a private investigator?
We were in the middle of that. We can't discuss that. No, but I mean, it is nice to, again, I think there's a sort of central theme here. We want to know who they are as a human being. How are they? We can all act for a little while, and then what happens after that? What do they do when they get in the car? And then the sigh comes, and then what goes through their mind? I want to know that.
Yes, and all of these conductors have a certain amount of social media presence. And so if they're doing a certain amount of investigating through that, it made it a little bit more clear who the common friends are and things like that with the various conductors. That was especially difficult with the two European-based conductors. But it wasn't that hard, actually, to find people I knew who knew them and who I was able to get testimonials from. And that was a big part of the process, especially with those European conductors that we hadn't really worked in America very much.
Yeah. And let's take a moment about the European conductors, because in the modern world, one doesn't automatically expect the music director to live year-round in any one city. Is that a concern of people who have an orchestra in Europe and how they can cover both jobs? Talk about that practicality.
Well, I can just chime in quickly and then let other people fill in. I mean, I am looking at it from a couple perspectives. One, the primary critical work, you know, can they do the work? Well, what's the work? To be musical, conduct the concerts, and to be engaged, right? So, where they list their home zip code on their tax return, I personally don't view that as the only thing that matters. What matters is they are engaged, but then the second piece is that the perceptions work, right? So in these conversations, I've had many, many conversations, little groups. We had a subscriber get together a few months ago, which was great, and it very quickly evolved into talking about this process and are they going to live here? So me really listening to the values being expressed by our constituents. That's very important to me. So even while I may have some of my own feelings, I better be listening and putting forth the concerns and the values that I'm hearing from our stakeholders. Mm-hmm. And what I hear is that being very present and very engaged is critical, and it's a bit of an indicator of sort of the respect for the institution. And I get that. Mm-hmm. This institution deserves enormous respect. So whether somebody lives close enough that they can be here, you know, for frequent donor engagements, or they live down the street, that is critical. Somebody who would have, you know, a longer trajectory, you know, literally a long plane ride, would necessitate, I think, a bit of a different sort of composition to their season. Mm-hmm. They maybe would have chunks of time, you know, a few weeks at a time that they would spend here.
And in today's conducting world, hopping on a plane to conduct on various coasts of this country is not at all unusual. So mm-hmm. it's really how much time they have while they're here, so that they're not, I mean, they're certainly not flying in for a concert and then be gone again. That's not what we're mm-hmm. looking for. We're looking for someone who has time to commit to Spokane and be a part of it, whether it's their permanent residence or not.
And I want to point out that all of the five conductors made it clear in their application materials that they had clearly researched Spokane. They knew about it. One of the European conductors even mentioned in his programming, his sample programming, that civic theater could be used for something. So he clearly had researched Spokane's institutions and knew who would be working with the symphony. So no matter how far away the conductor may live, I think that that person will know Spokane quite well.
Okay, and then any other of those practical things before we kind of try to move to the ephemeral, when I think of is, do you worry about somebody who would only be here for 1 or 2 years punching their ticket on the way to the New York Philharmonic?
Yeah, I think that would, in the long run, not advance us as much as somebody who would want to be here for a longer mm-hmm. period of time.
But we want someone who's able to go on and lead the New York Philharmonic.
It's so, a bit of a catch-22.
You know. It'd be huge for us if that happened.
So the orchestra wants to learn from someone, too. And let's face it, conductors mm-hmm. do mm-hmm. improve as they go, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah. And Stephen, Dan, talk about what your colleagues have bent your ear about in the course of this, because surely you've talked to the other orchestra members and they're coming up and asking you questions. And what are their concerns?
Well, and I think, you know, there's a certain amount of concern about the unknown, of course. And most of the colleagues haven't gotten the chance to get to know these candidates like those of us on the search committee have. So I think that they just want to know that they're going to keep going Eckhart's legacy, that we will have a really good, inspiring musical presence that will make us want to go to work every day and really prepare these programs and play our hearts out. And that's what we really want, I think, and that's what the musicians want.
And what about how this affects the current trajectory that's projected for the Spokane Symphony the next 10 years? Surely you have 10-year plans and things like that of how much growth, how much status quo, how much innovation is available. Is there, talk about trying to figure out the conductor's leadership qualities.
Well, at this point, it's hard to comment exactly on where we think we'll be. I mean, I think we want to be continuously improving, right? Mm. Trying new things while respecting the tradition and the heritage of who we are, right? This is that sort of paradox. So we want somebody who is inventive and creative, and I would say who has a great pedigree. I mean, who really respects where we all came from, and who is a thinker and a communicator and a musician. I mean, I really like it when conductors still play, you know, whether it's conducting from the harpsichord, doing Brandenburg, or you know, doing what they do. I think that sort of brings them back down to sort of a level playing field with everybody else. And it's fun and it's humanizing. So we want a partner. Again, going back to what I said before, we want not somebody who's a a square peg in a round hole. We want them to fit here, but we want them to also help us evolve.
Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be a wonderful adventure for the audience to participate this year by seeing each of these candidates. We've mentioned there are four men, one woman. They are some international, some national, all very qualified, all offering a different approach to the orchestra that the audience will enjoy, I think, weighing in and judging for themselves. We also want someone who communicates well with our audience.
And
I just was going to say that I hope the audience pick isn't too far off from the committee pick.
Yeah, talk about that. Are you going to have a mechanism, kind of a straw poll ballot or something?
Yeah, we'll have different. I mean, we're going to have different survey mechanisms or engagement mechanisms from all these different stakeholders. Of course, the orchestra is very vitally important to get both sort of the aggregate viewpoint of who the orchestra likes, and also the very specifics. And yes, of the audience and, you know, our education community, the business community. We're trying to spend time now with all those different groups and understand, you know, what would an ideal music director look like? What values would they embody? In a little bit in the petri dish, right, before we get into it exactly. So then we can look back and say, well, in a very perfect environment, this is what we talked about. Now, how do people compare?
And, you know, just as we went from 188 to 5, and there was a real consensus, it was a long process, but there was a general consensus that this group came to. And I'm hoping that it goes the same way with narrowing it down from 5 to 1.
Yeah. 4 of the 12 members, I think it's interesting, same number that's on a jury. The 12 members of the conductor selection committee for picking the replacement for music director Eckhart Proy. The overall view will be that one of them, the one who's well known around here, will come in early in the season. He'll be that's Marihiko, who will be in on just the second concert of the season, or the third concert of the second concert of the season, and then the others will be in a group from February through April. And in a moment, we're on our way to hearing adjacent interviews with each of these 5 people that we've been talking about, so you can start listening and to that. And those interviews will also be up as a podcast later. So Steve Swanson, bass player and viola da gamba player and a few other things. Thank you, Steve,
for
being here. And Bernice Cohen, for your ongoing part of the musical world of Spokane. Thank you.
Thanks.
And Dan Cotter, I keep trying to do that. I know each other way too well. I know. Dan Cotter, who is in that unique and wonderful position. I assume there's occasional tricky things about being on both sides, being your own boss in a sense. But there's something kind of good about somebody, a musician, doing your job as a manager, don't you think?
It seems like a turn for us. I joke once in a while about how the musicians have now infiltrated the administration.
Yeah. And speaking of the musicians infiltrating the administration, certainly for the executive director of the symphony, Jeff, and your own deep commitment to music. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.